If it weren't for the COVID-19 pandemic, Māori dancer and choreographer Eddie Elliott would be about to leave for Canada, where he regularly performs with an Indigenous dance company. But he has no time to waste on regrets at the moment, with the premiere of his first full-length commissioned work for the New Zealand Dance Company about to open. Uku behind the canvas sees the dancers cover themselves in and make objects out of clay on stage. The work also incorporates New Zealand Sign Language and references the distorted paintings of Swiss artist Andy Densler. It's part of the dance company's new show, Nightlight. First, I asked Eddie about his work with Red Sky Dance Company in Canada and if he felt an instant connection with its Indigenous dancers.
Absolutely. Not only the dancers, though, the environment over there is very similar to the lands of Aotearoa. It's the landscape is really close to home, and yeah, and then the dancers over there had similar connections to, or relationships to Aotearoa, to Māori people.
So in terms of the dance that you perform over there, you are, what, adapting to their forms of dance, or are they interested in what you bring with you, you carry with you in your body and your knowledge?
I think it's a bit of both. It's definitely a bit of both. I learnt to. I think what helped me over there, though, was the discipline I learnt in the New Zealand Dance Company, because I originally danced for the New Zealand Dance Company, and they respected that.
Had COVID-19 not happened, you would have been about to leave there, but you had come home to work on this. I mean, this is very exciting for you.
Yes.
First full-length work. How long have you had the idea?
So the idea came from when I went over to Canada, actually. I was on the aeroplane, and it was on the Kia Ora magazine, or it was one of the magazines on Air New Zealand, and I saw a painting of a Swiss artist called Andy Densler had painted, and I was really intrigued with it because it was of a face, and I wasn't sure if the face was sad or it was happy, because it had it was smudged all the way through the painting. And it made me really intrigued because I wanted to know the emotions of the person that was in the photo. And so I searched him up, Andy Densler, and looked at all of his work. This was about 3 years ago. And then after researching, I learned that he likes to work with oil paintings. He likes to work between fiction and reality. And so from that idea, I was really inspired by what he was looking for. And so I wanted to try and find a way where I could do that through movement. And how can I create my own environment between fiction and reality? And what is that space that dancers can hold and share within each other, negotiating the environment that's in the studio?
Uku is clay. I mean, clay has a part to play in this too?
Yeah, because he does oil brush strokes and a lot of sculpture work, I wanted to try that with the dancers and how different it feels to be dancing with Uku and then without Uku. The clay ended up becoming the essence of the work, and these dancers in the company, they really take on, like, they're not shy on doing anything with the clay, and I wanted to see how vulnerable they can get with the clay, and what does it feel on them, how does it make them change the way they move, and that then became the essence of the work.
Well, that's quite challenging for a dancer. It's challenging enough to dance,
yeah,
you know, on a clean
yeah,
stage.
Yeah.
And you bring in Uku, of course, in certain forms it's going to be,
yeah,
wet, it's going to be slippery.
Yeah.
Has that been quite a lot to work with the dancers to make sure that they can create what you want, but I guess they're also safe?
Yes, yep. I didn't know that clay could be that messy, because there's also, like, natural clay, there's toxic clay that you had to try and be careful around. And so when we first started, we had to, like, make sure we were very careful with the clay before we started with it. But I definitely, it was really important, and the dancers knew how important for me the clay was, because from developments, this was the Uku behind the canvas was made in three developments. From the first development, I really wanted to utilize clay because after that development, I looked into Hine Ahuone and Tane Mahuta and how Hine Ahuone was built from Tane Mahuta into clay and moulded. And so the dancers knew how important that was for me building that. So they really trusted me with it. And they knew, like, I didn't want anyone to do a backflip, you know, with the clay, you know. Like, we had to make sure everything was really safe, like not as slippery. And there's parts where they run, they don't run in that section or run around in that, like, puddle of clay. Or
it's one thing to have it feeling slippery and smooth and cool, but yeah, then when it starts to dry, and I guess then maybe it starts to crack. And is that part of the look of this?
This is a little secret between me and you, but I don't want the clay to crack. Like, it's, we don't want it to get to a point of cracking, which is a good challenge because it means they have to sweat to make sure it doesn't dry. No, I'm just joking.
I was going to say, how tough are you as a choreographer?
I think I'm passionate. I don't know if I'm tough. The dancers are really, like, because I've danced with the New Zealand dance companies, dancers, so they're my friends. So yeah, so they work really well with my added training because I can be a diva sometimes, and everyone knows that. I can be a queen. And it does show in the work and the concept of the work and the ideas. The dancers do a good job of portraying somewhat of who I am on stage. But yeah, I don't think I'm a... Well, I hope not.
No, I'm sure you're not. I see that there is also a place in this work, Eddie, for New Zealand Sign Language.
Yes, yeah. Because I do sign language. My whangai brother is, he's deaf, and his girlfriend's deaf, and their kids know how to sign, and I was brought up with him, and Manurewa. And so I learned how to do sign language with him growing up, and that became a movement vocab that I could use to portray some of the stories and the ideas that I'm telling. When I'm having a conversation with him, with my brother, I always forget, like, which word I need to say in sign. And so I anticipate something, and that became a movement for me, a movement vocab. And then, yeah, so that then shapes some of the ideas that we're working with within the work. Yeah.
Not all dancers, of course, go on to also be choreographers.
Mm.
But again, did you come to that decision quite soon that you would like to do both? I mean, I know you still love to dance, so you do both. Mm. But why choreography also?
So I wanted to choreograph because I knew, like, people could tell stories. And I have a big mouth, as you can tell. I like to talk about a lot of things in my life, and I feel like dancers who listen know how to portray that really strongly. Like, I know how to portray throughout my stories that I've gone through a lot through my body, but I find it really fascinating to see it on someone else and how they interpret my stories that I tell. I've got a lot of stories to tell.
Eddie, did you have smooth sailing on your path to being a dancer? I mean, you get all sorts of different stories, don't you? The families that support dancers, male dancers in the family, and those who, like Billy Elliot, you know, yes, go have a hard time of it. What about you?
Yeah. The thing is, I have conversations with my family, and they're just not aware of the type of dancing that I do and the work that we put in to become a dancer, to become a choreographer, to become an artist. And so I just have to educate them, because it's because not many of my whānau are really dancing, and if they are dancing, it's only hip hop. It's what they see on a screen, and so they're only looking at that. And so I try and educate them on what actually I do in dance, and that's made them understand and realize, so they can support me, and they have been supporting.
Where did you come across contemporary dance? Are you saying that your cousins were more into hip-hop and that's what you were seeing around you growing up? What was your first experience of contemporary dance?
Well, contemporary, I was at high school, actually. I was the only one doing level 3 dance at James Cook High School. We did hip-hop. When I went into level 3 dance, I had to get credits for other genres of dance. And so my teacher there had showed me videos of Limbs Dance Company a lot of dance companies overseas that I was really interested in. And I was like, wow, I didn't even know this type of dancing existed, because I thought there was only like hip hop and ballet. Like, I was really limited to what I knew in the dance industry. And so, yeah, when I had saw that, I knew that there was a university, Unitech, that was doing contemporary dance. And I literally just went head deep. I was like, you know what? I'm the only one doing level 3 dance. I'm just going to go and dive in. And I just went straight in there. And that's where I discovered contemporary dance.
Had it been your plan growing up to go on to further education?
Yes. Well, actually, I remember writing a while back, like I think I was about 14, and I said in 2018 I want to have a degree in dance, a bachelor's in dance. And when it was 2013, I like just remembered that I had that dream and was like, well, actually, I did this earlier than I actually thought I could. I had a lot of doubting and when I was younger, and so when I had that realization that I had done it a few years before my actually dream of doing it, I got a little bit emotional. But
you did it.
That I did it, yeah, because it's that dream was so far away from me that it actually became a huge realization in 2013 that this was possible.
Tell me about your nanny Kim.
If anyone knows me, they know Nanny Kim because of all the support that she has done with me and with my dance career. She has helped me quite a lot, actually, from, I think, quite a young age. She had helped me. She became like my social worker, and then I ended up becoming like one of my closest friends, and then now I call her my Nanny Kim because she's been so supportive of Nightlight that I said to her, because every show I do, I dance, if I'm dancing, if I'm just holding a lamp, she will always get that comp ticket for that show. And this was the first time she said, Eddie, because I'm so proud of you, I want to buy my comp ticket. And I was like, no, you have to get this comp ticket. It's like a regime that we do where you have to take this comp ticket. But she's been this like supportive and proud that she had to buy that comp ticket. I was like, no, you don't have to.
Eddie Elliott, his work Uku Behind the Canvas premieres as part of the New Zealand Dance Company's production Nightlight on the 13th of August at the ASB Waterfront Theatre.